It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Let's eat, baby. It is Thanksgiving week. Is there a better week to eat your fantasy football knowledge from the critically acclaimed, often imitated, never duplicated Fantasy Feast podcast starring this guy over here, Evan Silva, the mastermind behind the commercial enterprise that is rotoworld.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. He's the man. I'm Ross Tucker. I played 7 years in the NFL and had a lot of fun doing it. Now I have probably even more fun just talking about football. Got a bunch of different podcasts, including this one, the Fantasy Feast, all of which you can get at rostucker.com. And we always appreciate any way in which you guys can support the podcast. We obviously have some awesome, awesome sponsors. You can check out the sponsor page at rostucker.com. And even spreading the word via social media helps. Give Evan there a retweet, or me at Ross Tucker NFL, or even Bri at RTF Podcast. More importantly, you guys are cool. You got a lot of friends. You're on Facebook. How about a like on Facebook so all your friends say, oh, wow, that's what he's doing. All right, I should check that out. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Speaking of checking that out, Evan, give me your Thanksgiving plans. Where are you going? And what's the best thing you'll eat?
Oh, I'm staying home and watching football. And I'm going to order a pizza. And I'm watching football all day long. And I'm doing
nice.
News blurbs
okay.
on Roto World.
Now, what kind of pizza will you order?
Oh, probably just pepperoni.
But, I mean, you live in Chicago. So, do you go deep dish or do you go regular?
Oh, no, man. Deep dishes for the tourists.
No, I like deep dish. When I was out there, I liked deep dish. I like deep dish.
I mean,
now,
there are certain deep dishes that I like, and but, I mean, you can't, like, eat deep dish very often. You know, you'll turn into a house.
No, I know. That's
bad.
What I was going to say. I couldn't do deep dish all the time, but yeah. It is a nice treat every once in a while. That's right. You're working. You're writing Roto World blurbs, keeping people informed like you do here with the quarterback streamers. There's no more bye weeks. So let me just ask you about this. There's no more bye weeks, but there are still people that, because of how they drafted or whatever, they're still streaming quarterbacks. So give me who you got this week.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that are streaming quarterbacks just because they believe in that strategy and they've probably had success, you know, doing it. My favorite three streamers this week are Brian Hoyer against the Saints. You know, this is a defense that has been shredded by Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins, Eli Manning over its last three games. 14-0 touchdown interception ratio for opposing quarterbacks against the Saints over that three-game stretch. Mark Sanchez was terrible last week against the Buccaneers. However, the Eagles fired off 74 offensive plays, and Mark Sanchez finished as the number 13 overall fantasy quarterback. You know, the Lions have not played great pass defense over the course of the season. It's gotten better since their bye week. But, you know, Mark Sanchez benefits from playing indoors in a game that should be pretty fast-paced and has some shootout potential. I'm sure that there will be some bumps. It's going to be a tough one to watch, I think, for Mark Sanchez, but he could come away with some fantasy production. And then Josh McCown, your boy, Ross, reinstalled as the Browns starter on Monday night against the Ravens. Josh McCown has been a good fantasy quarterback this year. His return improves the outlook of Gary Barnage, and I think that he will have success against the Ravens in a home game. I mean, Josh McCown, when he has started this year, he's been a pretty safe bet every week for multiple touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you on McCown as well as Hoyer. I think you're out of your mind on Sanchez. With options like McCown and Hoyer to stream, I don't know how anybody could in good conscience take Sanchez. The Lions' defense has been pretty awesome the last couple weeks against Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. You might have heard of them, Evan.
No, I agree with you. I agree.
All right. Well, then you also probably agree with me that Tommy John underwear is one of the greatest things that ever happened to the planet. If you haven't gotten them yet, Evan, maybe that'll be my Christmas present to you. It's a game changer. I know it's funny. Oh, we're talking about underwear. Dude, it's just better. Evan tries to get your lineup better. Evan tries to tell you things that you should do to help. I'm trying to help you guys. Have underwear that feels awesome. You ever like put on socks that just feel awesome? This is underwear. It just feels awesome. Go to TommyJohn.com now. Check out their complete line of phenomenal underwear, undershirts, and socks. I will tell you this. Buy one pair of underwear, one pair of undershirt, and tell me what you think. One undershirt, one pair of underwear, tell me what you think. It's just better. Use promo code FEAST, and you'll actually get 20% off your first order. That's promo code FEAST for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. That's TommyJohn.com. Let's roll, Bri.
Next meal.
How about this? They did it nice for us here with the Wednesday NFC podcast, Evan. All three Thanksgiving games involve six NFC teams. So we're getting you everything you need to know about your NFC teams bright and early. Philadelphia's at Detroit. You said what you thought of Sanchez. What about the other skill guys for the Eagles? I don't like them going against this Lions defense. Ever since Martha Ford took over as defensive coordinator, has been unbelievable.
Yeah, no, they're definitely playing better defense. They've played pretty close to shutdown run defense over their last two games. I don't think it's like a particularly good matchup for anybody. But DeMarco Murray, you know, last week, even though the Eagles were dominated in time possession and they played from behind all game, he had 17 touches for over 90 total yards. Ryan Matthews again will be out. So, you know, last week we saw DeMarco Murray's floor at 17 touches and over 90 total yards. So, you know, that's a good fantasy start. I mean, you know, he's a good fantasy start against the Lions. The wide receivers, I mean, Jordan Matthews hasn't topped 25 yards in consecutive games. You know, he played 100% of the Eagles snaps last week. But I didn't even see him until it was garbage time. I mean, he did nothing out there. And he actually does have a good matchup on paper against the Lions' sixth-round rookie slot corner, Quandre Diggs. But I don't know how you can trust Jordan Matthews at this point. No Zach Ertz, so that means that Brent Celek will be the Eagles' primary tight end. He has over 200 yards over his last two games. And I mean, he's been targeted by Mark Sanchez more than any other Eagles pass catcher the past 2 weeks. So Brent Celek is a guy you could pick up off your waiver wire and use him against the Lions and watch him play on Thanksgiving. I mean, you're always excited to watch Brent Celek play, aren't you, Ross?
I was in that Dolphins game where the Dolphins decided not to cover him, and he had like 200 yards on his first four catches. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. So he's a tight end streamer candidate this week. What about Absolutely. For the Lions going against this Jekyll and Hyde Eagles defense that got absolutely torched last week?
Well, they didn't even show up. I mean, I don't even know what the heck is going on with the Eagles, man. I mean, I would be worried. I would be worried, you know, if I was an Eagles supporter. I mean, this is a team that is very much in the hunt to win the division still. And they did not show up in a home game against the Bucks. I mean, they missed so many tackles on defense. the DeMarco Murray slide. I mean, I don't even know what.
The DeMarco Murray slide was the Dolphins game.
Okay. I mean, whatever the case may be, this Eagles team, like, I'm worried about their effort level at this point. I mean, maybe they'll bounce back on Thanksgiving on a short week. I would be excited to start Matthew Stafford in fantasy against them. Matthew Stafford over his past five games is the number 7 overall fantasy quarterback. So he's already been productive. The Buccaneers did not have to – they just stomped the Eagles with their running game last week. I know Jameis Winston got all the highlights because he threw 5 touchdown passes, but it was really Doug Martin setting up Jameis Winston. I mean, the Bucs only had 29 rushing attempts. They only had 29 pass attempts. They had 42 rushing attempts. I kind of like Ameer Abdullah on Thanksgiving as a flex start. I don't think he's a great start, but if you're looking for somebody to use on Thanksgiving in a flex spot, Ameer Abdullah, he led the Lions in touches with 13 last week. Calvin Johnson, I mean, Byron Maxwell and Nolan Carroll are not playing well. Every pass that was thrown at Byron Maxwell last week was complete. Nolan Carroll gave up 3 touchdown passes last week. So you're really liking Calvin Johnson. And Golden Tate also has a good matchup in the slot against E.J. Biggers. At this point, I don't think you can trust Eric Ebron. He threw up a goose egg last week, dropped a touchdown pass. Matthew Stafford refused to throw to him after that.
All right, let's move on.
Next meal.
The 4:30 Eastern time game is Carolina at Dallas. It's the Panthers. It's the Cowboys. Cam Newton has been on a roll, but Dallas' defense has been pretty good as well. What do you got?
Well, Dallas' defense is good because they're not on the field anymore. And, since they got Romo back, last week the Dolphins ran 41 plays. The Dolphins usually run about 65 plays. The Dolphins didn't even have the ball. No Dolphins pass catcher caught more than 4 passes. No Dolphins running back had more than 6 rushing attempts. This is a big concern for teams that play the Cowboys, is that they will just sit on the football. They have the longest time between plays in the NFL. They don't push the pace at all. And this creates low scoring games. It gives the illusion that their defense is rock solid. And, that's the way that they play. I'm worried about Cam this week a little bit. He's been awesome this year for sure. We loved him last week, but I think that he will disappoint against Dallas. Jonathan Stewart does have a good matchup. The Cowboys run defense is not great, but it's how many attempts is he going to get? And Lamar Miller had 7 last week. Greg Olsen, I think, is my favorite play for Carolina with no Morris Claiborne. The Cowboys are forced to use Byron Jones, who they used early in the season as a tight end stopper. Now they have to use him as a full-time perimeter cornerback. Last week he kind of struggled in that role. I like Olsen in this one. Devin Funchess last week played 81% of the Panthers' offensive snaps with Corey Brown sidelined, and he had 4 catches for 64 yards and a touchdown. If we see that Corey Brown is inactive again, I think Devin Funchess is an okay fantasy option against the Cowboys. He would run most of his routes at Byron Jones. And then Ted Ginn has been getting a lot of targets for Carolina. He would mostly match up with Brandon Carr, who is, really inconsistent. Ted Ginn, a guy who you could maybe pick up off waivers and use if you need some wide receiver help.
What about for the Cowboys going against Carolina's defense that I think will have Charles Johnson back?
Yeah, and this is a great, great defense. This game has a 46-point total, which surprises me. I mean, that's fairly aggressive. I think it's going to be lower scoring. I think that it'll be a slow-paced game. I think that the Cowboys will run Darren McFadden as much as they possibly can. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he does, because the Panthers have they're giving up under 3 yards per carry to running backs over their last four games. Darren McFadden with the groin injury now on a short week, coming off a game where he had 32 touches. I mean, you're using him in fantasy, but I think that there is some reason for concern there. And then Dez is going to be definitely shadowed by Josh Norman. Josh Norman has not shadowed a lot this year, but he's going to be out there, you know, traveling with Dez on every single play. I mean, Josh Norman is a defensive player of the year candidate. I don't think you sit Dez. The one thing we can kind of look to is that Dez last week caught his touchdown on a slot route, and Josh Norman has played 1% of his snaps in the slot this year. So he plays on the outside, but he doesn't travel into the slot. That stat is according to Pro Football Focus. So hopefully the Cowboys can be a little creative and line up Dez in the slot. Dez is playing over 20% of his snaps in the slot, so he'll get some work there. But that makes, you know, Jason Witten and Terrence Williams a little bit more interesting. If you think that Josh Norman can shut down Dez and make Tony Romo go to other options, you know, it'll be Terrence Williams and Jason Witten in all likelihood.
Interesting. Let's move on.
Next meal.
The nightcap on Thanksgiving, Evan, is the Packers hosting the Bears. Your boy Fat Eddie and the Packers offense got it going a little bit on Sunday. I was actually more surprised and impressed by what their defense did, but let's start with Eddie and the Packers offense.
Yeah, good to see Fat Eddie eating again. You know, that's great to see. I know a lot of people like to pretend that James Starks is better than him, but Eddie Lacy is very clearly the Packers' best back, and they know that, and they need to get him going. Now, how will his body bounce back on this short week after, you know, the most touches he's handled since way early in the season, after dealing with ankle and groin injuries? You know, I mean, where would your bet be on Eddie Lacy this week, Ross? You think he'll be fine?
I think he'll be fine. I think he's got some momentum, you know, from Sunday that they want to keep going.
Okay. I like it. Ronnie Hillman and CJ Anderson ran all over the Bears D at Soldier Field this week. Now the Bears D is on the road at Lambeau on a short week. There are some weather concerns. It's certainly on paper. It shapes up as a Fat Eddie game. And Fat Eddie has let us down much more often this year than he has, you know, delivered for us. But it sets up on paper beautifully for Fat Eddie. I don't think you can use James Starks at this point in fantasy. Aaron Rodgers, you know, there's really no rhythm and timing to the passing game at this point. It's all improvisational stuff, you know. Aaron Rodgers just making ridiculous throws late in the down. But he's been productive, and this Bears defense is missing Antrell Roll. In three games missed by Antrell Roll so far this season against Alex Smith, Matthew Stafford, and Brock Osweiler, they've given up a 7-1 touchdown interception ratio, and those are not, you know, quote unquote elite quarterbacks. So I like Aaron Rodgers' chances of having a big game. The best matchup in the Packers wide receiver core will go to Randall Cobb against Bears undrafted rookie slot corner Bryce Callahan. We'll see James Jones run most of his routes at Kyle Fuller, who is a really talented kid, but has definitely had some ups and downs. It seems like his confidence comes and goes. And then Devontae Adams, who's really, really struggling, will go up against Bears left cornerback Tracy Porter for most of this game. Tracy Porter has been the Bears' top corner. So I do like James Jones here. I know it probably feels like a little bit like he's chasing points, but I think that I think Aaron Rodgers has lost a little bit of trust in Devontae Adams, and I think that he trusts James Jones more, and I think that trust is a real factor when Aaron Rodgers is determining who he's going to throw to on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah,
so like Cobb and James Jones.
I don't think there's any question about that. I can tell you quarterbacks, the trust thing is huge. As for the Bears, what are you telling? It looks like last I saw, Alshon Jeffrey's probably going to play. Alshon Jeffrey, Forte, Langford. What do you got on these guys?
Yeah, I don't know about Alshon Jeffrey. You know, I really don't know, and I can't pretend to know. I do know that Zach Miller is kind of interesting as the Bears' number two tight end. I mean, he's had a bigger role in the passing game the past 2 weeks than Martellus Bennett. Zach Miller has played 79% and then 84% of the Bears' offensive snaps. He's got 5 targets and 6 targets in his last 2 games. The Packers have been destroyed by tight ends. You remember that huge game from Antonio Gates when he came back last week? It was Kyle Rudolph. I mean, Kyle Rudolph was the number one overall. Kyle Rudolph has done nothing all year. He was the number one fantasy tight end in week 11 against the Packers. There's been a lot more along the way. And, I think Zach Miller is an interesting streamer. I wouldn't play him over Brent Celek. You know, I think Brent Celek is a better streamer for this week. But if somebody grabs Brent Celek ahead of you, you can go pick up Zach Miller. Just make sure it's not the old Seahawks Zach Miller. This Zach Miller is a former college quarterback at Nebraska Omaha. He was originally drafted by the Jaguars, and he currently plays for the Bears.
All right. Let's move on.
Next meal.
All right, now we're out of Thanksgiving. We're into Sunday. The second game I'll be at, Evan, I'll actually be at Philadelphia, Detroit tomorrow. And then Sunday I'll be in Atlanta for the Vikings and the Falcons. I want to start with the Falcons because I watched a lot of that game on Sunday. And you and I are sharing a brain. I call him Tevin Unleaded because when I watch him run, he's fast. He knows where to run. But, dude, he could not break an arm tackle or break through the line to save his life. And there's just a stark contrast between Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. I'm not a Tevin Coleman fan. Maybe he'll change my mind Sunday. But after watching him break nary a tackle against the Colts, I don't think I'd be starting him unless I had no other options.
Yeah, and we knew this about Tevin Coleman. You know, we talked about this with Matt Waldman and Josh Norris in the offseason. You know, he's a stiff, upright runner who really generates no power. And I mean, he was stuffed. I mean, I felt like it was 6 times he was stuffed inside the 5-yard line, you know, on touchdown opportunities, lost a fumble. I mean, it was really, really ugly for Tevin Coleman. That doesn't mean that he will do nothing this week. I mean, if Devonta Freeman is out, and the early signs on Devonta Freeman are good, but if he's out, I mean, Tevin Coleman's probably going to get 20 touches against the Vikings in a home game, and you're using him in fantasy, and he can bust big runs, so he definitely gives you some upside, but the initial showing there last week was not good. We saw Tevin Coleman run pretty well against the Eagles when the Eagles were still playing good run D early in the season. So let's not totally bury him. But this game has a 46-point total. The Falcons are favored by 2. I think you got to love Julio Jones in this spot. You remember Alshon Jeffrey ripped up Minnesota. Their perimeter cornerbacks, Terrence Newman, is like 37 years old. And the other guy, Xavier Rhodes, has just been not good all season long. James Jones, you know, this Vikings defense busted the slump for James Jones last week. So love Julio this week. And then Leonard Hankerson has been having more hamstring problems. Whenever Leonard Hankerson does not play, Jacob Tammy becomes a legitimate fantasy option. And if we see that Hankerson is out this week, which I'm starting to think that he will be, you know, you could pick up Jacob Tammy. There's another tight end streamer for week 12. I would actually take him over Brent Celek and over Zach Miller if we know for sure that Hankerson is out.
What about when the Vikings have the ball?
Adrian Peterson. You know, I think that Norv Turner.
Bridgewater did some decent things Sunday.
Yeah, I mean that's good for him. I think that this offense is very committed to Adrian Peterson. I think that they will feel like they let the game get away from them by not feeding Adrian Peterson enough last Sunday, and you know I think that they will. You know, coaches sometimes will overcompensate the next week after they let games kind of get out of hand. I mean, that's not the way that they want to play offense, Ross. You know, I agree that Teddy Bridgewater was solid. I think that he can be okay in games like that, but they let the game get away from them and they didn't ride their offensive centerpiece. So I think they'll come back and feed the heck out of Adrian Peterson. Stephon Diggs does not line up very often on the side of the field where Desmond Trufant plays. And Desmond Trufant never moves. He always plays left cornerback. So Stephon Diggs, although his production has been up and down, his matchup won't be the problem this week. You get to use him indoors in a game that, I mean, if the Falcons score, put up some points on the Vikings, then the Vikings will be forced to throw, and Stephon Diggs will be their best option. Kyle Rudolph, like, he had – before last week, he had zero games above five targets since week two. You know, he's a guy who we viewed as if he scores a touchdown in a given week, he ends up being an okay fantasy play, and then – if he doesn't score a touchdown, he doesn't, you know, he hurts your fantasy lineup. So I don't think a whole lot has changed. The Packers just have been getting destroyed by tight ends.
Let's roll.
Next meal.
The Rams are in Cincy. I mean, I don't know what to say on this one. If you have Gurley, you're still going to play him. Is there anything else even worth discussing for a second in this game?
No, I do think that Gurley is an intriguing, contrarian daily play in daily fantasy because his ownership is going to be – I mean, I think that his ownership percentage will be the lowest that it is all season. This game just is not set up well for him on paper. I mean, the Bengals, since they got Vontaze Burfict back 4 games ago, 0 rushing TDs allowed over the last 3 games, under 3.2 yards per carry allowed. So nothing really sets up well for Todd Gurley, except for the fact that he's going to get the ball a lot, and they'll keep giving him the ball even when they're down. So I think in daily fantasy tournaments, my guess is that he'll be 5 to 6%, maybe even lower this week, and I do like him as a contrarian play.
Contrarian play for Gurley at a place like DraftKings.com, which is fantasy football on demand. You play where you want, when you want, with the dudes you want, and you can play in so many different leagues. You get custom leagues, 50-50s, head-to-heads, play against worker, you know, co-workers, colleagues, friends, anything. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. All you have to do is use the promo code FEAST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter Feast for free entry now, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Next meal.
It's Ross, the Saints, Ross, Evan, and they Ross, are in Houston to like take on a Texans defense. It's playing really well right now.
Ross, did you see how I just like teed you up there, man? We have good chemistry.
Dude, it was amazing. Except you kind of interrupting me to tell me about my chemistry while I was moving on to the next game kind of hurts the great chemistry argument.
I agree. You're having a bad show, man. You're having a bad show.
Hey, so what? I mean, Saints offense usually pretty good going against the Texans defense.
Yeah, I like this game for fantasy purposes. We got the Saints coming off a bye. The game will be indoors at NGR or whatever stadium. It used to be called Reliance Stadium. Both these teams play really fast. Drew Brees has not been as good on the road this year. And the Texans defense has been playing well lately. So that's a little bit of a concern for the Saints offense. But, you know, I think this game has shootout potential considering how fast these teams play. Drew Brees has really been lighting it up since he returned from his shoulder injury in week 3. I mean, he's been really, really productive. You know, I think that the what we say about the other players in the Saints offense is always the same. You know, it's Brandon Cooks is going to get 8 targets. He's a good bet for something like 70 to 90 yards. And whether he scores a touchdown or two, he's had, like in his last game, he scored 2 touchdowns. That will determine whether he gives you upside. These wide receivers move around a ton. So we can't say like, oh, well, this wide receiver will be matching up with this certain cornerback. You know, it's just too difficult to say those sort of things. Mark Ingram always gives you a great floor. He's another guy who his upside will be determined by whether he scores 1 or 2 touchdowns. And if he scores 0, he still gives you a good floor because he gets the ball so much, especially since Kyrie Robinson went out. And by the way, Tim Hightower, if you just look at the box score, Tim Hightower had 11 carries for the Saints in their last game. However, 8 of those came on the Saints' final 2 drives when they were losing by like 30 points against the Redskins. So, it's not like Tim Hightower has jumped into that Kyrie Robinson role or anything. He was just used as the garbage time back against the Skins, against his former team.
All right, let's roll.
Next meal.
The next game is the Bucks, the Duggernaut, Jameis. In Indy to take on the Colts defense, which has been decent this year.
Yeah. And the Colts run defense, although Tevin Coleman did make it look good last week, the Colts run defense has been an issue since about the first month of the season. So like the setup here for Doug Martin, Vontae Davis suffered a hamstring injury last week, and I don't know if he's going to play. If the Colts are without Vontae Davis hamstring and Mike Adams ankle, I mean, those are their 2 best defensive backs. So that's something to keep an eye on. You know, we're doing this Wednesday morning, and I don't have a whole lot of injury information, but those are things to track for the outlook of Jameis, for the outlook of Mike Evans, for the outlook of Vincent Jackson. You know, those guys' situations will improve if those defensive backs are out. Mike Adams, I mean, him being out has had a really big impact on the Colts' pass defense. And then, I guess Austin Seferian-Jenkins is tentatively due back this week. That's what Schefter reported on Sunday. So we'll see about that. The Colts have certainly given up a lot of fantasy points to tight ends over the course of the year.
Next game.
Next meal.
The next game and the next meal takes us all the way to Washington. It's the Giants and the Redskins. Giants coming off a bye. Redskins looked like they were almost going to go toe-to-toe scoring with the Panthers for a little while there. And they've been, especially Cousins, red hot at home. I own Matt Jones in one of my leagues. I don't have very high expectations. That was a pretty pathetic fumble. And I imagine he might even stay in the doghouse for this game.
Yeah. But they may need him because Alfred Morris has a rib injury. So, you know, I look at this game and it's the Giants coming off a bye. Their defense is at full strength. Robert Ayers, Devon Kennard, Prince Amukamara, Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, their personnel has improved significantly on defense in a short time span. All these guys will be healthy. And I hear you on Kirk Cousins at home. That has certainly been a little bit of a trend. But I think I wouldn't want to use him in fantasy this week. Jordan Reed has an MCL sprain. That's a concern for Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's been his most reliable target. Jordan Reed leads all tight ends in red zone targets on the season. You know, I think if Jordan Reed is out, and I don't know what his status will be, then that helps DeSean Jackson. And I think that it helps Jamison Crowder and Pierre Garçon a little bit. I don't know if you can use those guys in fantasy leagues, but I think you can use DeSean Jackson at this point. But I really like this game for the Giants offense. The Redskins defense hasn't been good. It doesn't matter if they're home or away. Coming off the bye week, the Giants pass catchers, you know, were dealing with a lot of injuries. Larry Donnell missed a couple games. Odell Beckham and Reuben Randall both had hamstring issues in the first half of the season. Those guys will be all at 100%. I think the Giants come out and their passing offense has a big game against Washington.
What about Washington offensively? Anything other than Jordan Reed? What about DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously weren't paying attention, but I like DeSean Jackson especially if Jordan Reed does not play.
Yeah, I heard the Jordan Reed part. I was looking ahead to the next game, which is, Bri.
Next meal.
Arizona, San Francisco. See, what I do is I call up the next game so I know exactly who I want to ask you about, and I missed the DeSean Jackson part. Arizona, obviously on fire. It's fun to watch. I mean, what do you do wide receiver-wise at this point? I mean, is it J.J. Nelson time? It's crazy how many receivers have had good fantasy days for them.
Yeah, last week I liked the under on that Arizona-Cincinnati game because I was like, well, the Cardinals play vertical passing offense. They have a wide receiver in Michael Floyd who obviously could not run all week. John Brown, you know, is kind of questionable whether or not he could run. And then but it doesn't matter. They just throw J.J. Nelson in there and he just tears it up, you know. So that was a little frustrating on the under. But, you know, I think this sets up well for Larry Fitzgerald. I think that at home the Cardinals will control – I'm sorry, this is at San Francisco. I still think the Cardinals will control the game. I think they'll be able to give a lot of carries to Chris Johnson in all likelihood. Andre Ellington's usage was very disappointing against Cincinnati. You can't trust him in this game. David Johnson, you know, again, he's been all but phased out of the offense. Also had a fumble last week or a near fumble, and that will not endear him to the coaching staff. So I would expect a lot of work for Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Johnson. Carson Palmer is always a great fantasy start. And, you know, we just have to wait and see on the wide receiver situation. If Michael Floyd missed another game, I mean, I don't think that J.J. Nelson is a bad fantasy option. He has incredible speed. He ran 4.24 at the combine, Ross.
I know. Is there anything on the Niners side that you need to talk about?
Sean Drawn has been a usage machine. He played 91% of the 49er snaps last week. I mean, he has been just killing it in PPR. I don't think that it matters what his matchup is. We saw him score a bunch of PPR points against the Seahawks in Seattle last week. Now taking on the Cardinals. Gabbert loves to dump it down to Sean Drawn. So if he's on your waiver wire for some reason, pick him up and start him immediately.
All right, last but not least, Bri.
Next meal.
Pittsburgh is in Seattle. This is the NFC Fantasy Feast. So we're looking at the Seahawks. Obviously, I'm balling with Rawls. Marshawn Lynch had surgery this morning, reportedly. Maybe he's in it right now. I don't know. So it's Rawls time. Does this affect anybody else? Any other thoughts that need to be talked about in this matchup?
No, but I think it'll be interesting to see how high Thomas Rawls' ownership is in DFS this week. My guess is that he will be in head-to-head games, probably over, maybe up near 70% owned. And then in tournaments, I would think that he's over 40%, maybe pushing 50%. So, from a game theory standpoint, I think it would be interesting, you know, to put together some lineups in tournaments that fade Thomas Rawls. And one way to do that would be to go in on Ben Roethlisberger, and we'll talk about their matchup in the next podcast, but I kind of love it. Also, Russell Wilson, who is coming off his best game of the season. The Steelers have, like, one of the best run defenses in football. So Thomas Rawls is far from a guarantee to have a big game. I mean, I love Thomas Rawls. I'm not taking anything away from what he's done so far this season. He's an RB1 the rest of the way in fantasy, no question. But, you know, in daily fantasy, I think that there is some merit to not using him because he will be so heavily owned. And maybe looking at Russell Wilson, maybe looking at the Pittsburgh side, or looking at some other cheap running backs, and we will discuss all of them on the AFC show.
Well, let's do it. We record both on Wednesday. We got the AFC one shortly up after midnight. That'll do it for the NFC Fantasy Feast version. He's Evan. I'm Ross. We love those of you that spread the word via social media or just forward me some sponsor confirmations with specific strategy or player questions for Evan. Stick a fork in this, though. We're stuffed and we're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.